Yeah. That's a fly jam for Fly Jams Friday. It's also for our guest. Every month we are joined. How are you doing? It's Nick DiGilio, everybody. We're back on 720 WGN. Herb Weisbaum is the Consumer Man. You can follow him on Twitter at the Consumer Man, and you can check out his website at consumerman.com. He's here to help you to talk about the consumer news and issues and to answer any of your questions or concerns. Doesn't want you to get scammed, all that cool stuff. Our phone number and text number is open and ready to go. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Herb to the show. Herb, welcome back.
Hi, Nick.
How are you?
Good. I missed you last month. I had a month off, so I had a reprieve. So here I am.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back.
Live via Skype. We've found the 20th century here on the show.
Oh, good. Sounds good. Welcome back, Herb. I understand that you were... Well, first of all, tell everybody about yourself and all that good stuff that we do every month.
Sure. I'm a consumer reporter based in Seattle, Washington. I cover the consumer beat for NBCNews.com, work for the all-news radio station KOMO out here in Seattle. And my goal is, as you said, to try to steer you away from the scams and the ripoffs and steer the good buys and the good deals and just make everybody a smart consumer, because we're all better when we stop and think before we do things.
Exactly. And I always take your advice. I learn from you every month. Every month we have you on, I always learn
from every story I do. Believe it or not, every single week I learn something new, which is the great part about this job.
Yeah. And if people actually have a newsletter, all that stuff at consumerman.com.
Yes, just go to consumerman.com where all my NBC stories are posted. It makes it real easy to find in this digital world where things disappear every 24 hours. And you'll be asked if you want to sign up for the newsletter. Just give me your name and email address. Get a lot of people from Chicagoland after being on the show with you, Nick. So we got a lot of people out in your area who get the newsletter every week. It's free. I don't sell, share, or rent the mailing list. It's just between you guys and me. And it's just a way to keep you informed as to what's going on.
Right. There you go. So get there and sign up for that newsletter right now. All right. Herb, I understand you've been traveling. We always love to talk about your adventures when you're out there traveling. Where'd you go?
Oh, sure. Took a little vacation. We decided to go to Iceland, London, the Cotswolds, which are the suburbs of London, and then to Scotland.
Wow.
And had a fabulous time. It was an absolutely wonderful 12-week adventure. I met my cousin Melvin, who lives in London, and we had a good time. I haven't seen him in 30 years. And he discovered me when I was on CBS this morning. I was on a story from the Consumer Electronics Show, and I get home and I get this message. Cheerio, Melvin Weisbaum, London, England. Watching the telly at lunch today, Sky News, saw your name on the screen. Are you possibly related to me? Call this 20-digit number. And I knew that we had Weisbaums in London. So
yeah.
I called him, and sure enough, his grandfather and my grandfather were brothers. He had pictures of the entire family, and he came over to America about 30 years ago. I saw him, and we went over to London and took us to a place where Princess Diana used to go. We had an awesome time.
Oh, that's fantastic. What'd you think of Iceland?
You look this way, there's nothing. You look this way, there's nothing. You look that way, there's nothing. And you look over your shoulder, and there's nothing. It's volcanic. It's just nothing everywhere.
Yeah.
No ice, by the way. A couple of really major natural wonders, a fabulous waterfall. We went in the Blue Lagoon where you go into the hot springs and soak yourself for a while. All the trees were actually brought into the country. There were no native trees. And the one place you go, the earth is actually pulling apart the two plates. So you stand on where you stand and you look about 3 football fields away across the valley. And that is, you're on the North American plate. You're looking at the European plate, and they're actually pulling apart a centimeter a year.
Wow.
And the ground, you see all the cracks in the ground. That's kind of something you don't see in most places.
Wow. Wow. That's something. That's
something. And then the Cotswolds is the burbs of London, about 90-minute train ride. And that's if you watch all these movies about the rich and famous. What's the one that's out again now that they just put the movie theaters? My mind is losing the one that's out there now.
Which concerning what?
The people in London, the rich and the famous.
Oh, Downton Abbey.
Yeah, Downton Abbey. So you know that Yellowstone that Downton Abbey's made of?
Yeah.
Everything. 800 square miles, every building is made of that stone. It's the Cotswolds limestone. The roofs, the sides, everything is that exact same color. And
wow.
It's pretty awesome. And we stayed in a room in a hotel that the King Charles stayed at back in 1666. So it was pretty amazing.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, my old, but she used to do traffic on the show, the lovely Esmeralda Leon.
Esmeralda.
Esmeralda. She went to Iceland and loved it. She went to Reykjavik and absolutely,
yeah,
and she thought it was fantastic.
It's expensive because I got to bring everything in, and then so that I got to say that. But Iceland Air gives you a free stop, so we were just flying to London, and Iceland Air let you stop for free, so that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And then the wool and the knitting and all the stuff they make over there. And in Scotland, we did a Scotch tasting, learned all about Scotch. You know, any whiskey can be whiskey, but only Scotch whiskey has to be made in Scotland,
yeah.
Just like champagne has to be made in the Champagne region of France.
Right.
And it was just they're little tiny glasses. They're 80 proof. There were four glasses. After two, my wife was gone.
Yeah.
I was very happy after four. Was glad I wasn't driving, but I still had my senses to myself. So.
Yeah, yeah. I was when I used to. I don't drink anymore, but when I did, yeah. I went to my ex-wife and I went to Ireland. And we went to where they make Jameson, they give you a taste at the end, and it was pretty lovely.
And I found out, by the way, in London, I love porridge. Who would know?
Oh, is that
porridge?
Right? I've had porridge.
Sort of like,
yeah,
yeah. You know, it's like a creamy oatmeal with a. They had honey in the bottom and some raisins and stuff. I thought that was wonderful. So
yeah.
I like porridge. You could go figure.
There you go. Now you know when you travel that much, when you're gone for that that length of time, and this is a consumer question. How do you take care of everything? How do you be safe when you're away so long?
You mean while I'm there
in a consumer way? Yeah. Like what do you do to what's the smart way to do when you're traveling?
Well, as I told you before, what I did is I downloaded a virtual private network, a VPN, onto my laptop. And so anytime I get on going anywhere, I launch the VPN, and it encrypts everything I do, routes it through a server in whatever country I want so that I know that my email communications are secure if I'm at the airport, if I'm at a hotel or a restaurant or wherever I am. That's like the number one tip for anybody using a public Wi-Fi. That's the one thing I do.
Yeah.
And then check with your carrier and find out about some kind of service for overseas. Now, friends had won a package. It was $10 a day, unlimited text, talk, and whatever. We knew we weren't going to do a lot, and our carrier offered one for 10 cents a minute or 10 cents a text, and our whole bill for 12 days was $14 for using our cell phone over there.
Wow.
So if you're going to go overseas, make sure you check with your carrier and see what kind of packages are available to save you money.
Yeah.
Chances are you can do something like that.
Yeah, and also, as we've talked about before, since you were, overseas, you want to contact, like, your credit card, or you want to contact your bank and let them know that you are going to be overseas, because if they might, spot something, like if you use a charge and it's from Iceland, they might go, hey, this is unusual, and then they might...
You know something?
Yeah.
That advice has actually changed in the last few years, and
it has.
I don't know why. We did not notify our credit card companies. They actually, the last time I called Capital One, they said, you don't need to do that anymore. I don't know. Their algorithms figure out where, because they know everything you do. It's not a bad idea to do, but you really don't have to do that anymore. But the really great thing is, and a tip is, if you go to a foreign country, and they always ask you, would you like that in this case, pounds, or would you like that in converted U.S. dollars. You always say you want it in the local currency, and then you let your credit card do the translation for you, so they'll convert it for you, because you get a better rate than most merchants will give you. But you will be asked that question all the time. You want it in your currency, or do you want it in our currency? No, I want it in your currency.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, and let your credit card company do the conversion for you. That's the smartest way to do it.
That's great advice. All right, Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it.
All right. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about with Herb. And if you guys have questions or concerns, love to help you out. That's what we're here for. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. More with the Consumer Man, Herb Weisbaum, after the news, which is after this.
The best things in life are free, but you can keep them for the birds and bees. Now give me more.
All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 o'clock. It's Friday morning. We're going to talk wrestling this morning. WWE SmackDown premieres on Fox. It's a big deal, and so we're going to talk with Jack Crosby from CBS Sports, who covers wrestling. And we're going to talk about that and more wrestling talk, too. And all the regular Friday features, You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday, and, of course, Vic's Picks. All coming up right here on this Friday morning. But right now, we are visiting with Herb Weisbaum. He's our buddy, and he's the Consumer Man. Check out ConsumerMan.com. He's here to help you out and give you some consumer advice and also talk about the latest in consumer stories. Herb, welcome back.
Hi again, Nick.
All right. So, this is pretty cool. You got to talk with Frank Abagnale.
I did.
Who, now, for people who don't know, if you saw the movie Catch Me If You Can, That's the real life character that Leonardo DiCaprio played in the movie. He was a real scammer. So if you've seen that movie, you're familiar with this guy, and you got to talk to him.
Yeah, actually, this is the third time I've gotten to speak to Frank. I literally met him about 30 years ago, and I was told when I was a cub reporter starting out here in Seattle, and I was told there's this guy at the Bellevue, Washington Hilton, and they tell me if you take a business card and your corporate statement out there, that the one, you know, the year-end statement that the company comes out with, it tells all the stockholders what's going on. In about 5 minutes, he'll make you a $100,000 check that's so realistic you can go to the bank and cash it. Said, okay, that's pretty cool. So that was back when none of us had laser copiers in our homes. We didn't; those were only a few industrial laser copiers were around. So he takes my business card, he copies the logo of the TV station, and he goes into the booklet and he copies the signature of my CEO. And he's got this beautiful paper for check paper, and out of the printer comes this $100,000 check made out to me. Have a good time.
Oh my God!
And I had no idea who I was talking to at that time because the movie hadn't come out.
Right.
So it's just this former crook guy, you know, and he was actually doing a tour for NCR that made check paper. At that time, they had just come out with paper, check paper, that would say fraud, fake, or whatever if you washed it. They used to be able to wash the ink off of checks and then write the new numbers on the check. It was called check washing.
Oh, okay.
Big scam for years. So they developed this technology where it would show that you had doctored the check, and he was going on a tour to show people what this was like. But Frank was behind bars for like something like 5 years or so. He's 71 years old now, and he's now a security consultant. He does a lot of big companies. He trains the FBI agents in cybercrime, so he's turned his life around, and he just wrote this book called Scam Me If You Can. And he told me, by the way, we can go into some of the things he talked about, but when he does when he consults for companies, so he's going to make a speech that day, he gets there a little earlier, and he goes in the parking lot, and he drops a couple of thumb drives around. And then when he makes a speech, he says, you know, I lost a thumb drive this morning in the parking lot. Did anybody find my thumb drive? And a couple of hands go up, and he says, did you put it in your computer to see what it was? And he says, invariably, a couple of hands go up. He says, well, congratulations. You just infected the entire computer system of your company,
which is a
really good way and a good lesson that you don't put strange thumb drives into any of your computers because you never know what's on them.
Yeah.
So that's how he teaches his lesson.
That's amazing.
But he wrote this book. Yeah, he wrote this book called Scam Me If You Can, and he basically made an encyclopedia of every scam that there is, how they work, and how you protect yourself. And as I said to him, I've been doing this for 40 years, and I know all these scams, but when I see it cataloged, when I see it broken down into every variable, every type of scam, and the pitches that they use, et cetera, it's amazing the different variations that they have for all these scams, and some of them that have been going on for so long. I mean, I did my first Nigerian letter scam when it was literally a letter. I have it in my collection.
Oh, wow.
It was sent with a Nigerian stamp, you know, hello, I'm a prince. And now, of course, comes in your text and your email. But it's the same scam, and we've been warning people for so long, and it keeps happening. I said to him, aren't you frustrated by that we spent our lives trying to teach people not to be taken? Why is that? And he says, I think it's because most people are good. It's probably that there's, and we don't expect people to rip us off. I think, quite frankly, in my experience, there's a little bit of greed involved also. If somebody says they've stolen all the money that Saddam Hussein had buried in the desert and you're going to get it, maybe there's a little bit of greed in there.
Yeah.
A lot of gullibility. We don't know all the tricks that people use. But Frank basically said they are pros, absolute pros at telling you anything and everything that will make you do exactly what they want you to do. That's what they do 8 hours a day. They push people's buttons and make them do what they want them to do. And fear, you know, used to be the prize, which is greed, getting something, which works, but it's the fear factor that really works. So if you call up, I'm the IRS, I'm ICE, I'm the FBI, we're coming to get you, I need some numbers. I mean, people literally drive to the Walmart or the Target store and buy gift cards. It could take an hour, and these guys stay on the phone with you the entire time, and people don't realize they're being taken. It's kind of bizarre when you hear it, but these people say they're just like mesmerized. They're just in a trance by these people that have them so scared, and that's how they're able to get them to do things that you normally, in hindsight, would never do.
Yeah. So this is a fascinating guy, I find. I find Abingale to be fascinating. The fact that he did time, and now he's helping people out. I think that's really great. And so is the book readily available? Is it out?
Yeah, it's a, you can buy it on Amazon, and it's a cover. It's a paperback book, and again, it just runs through all the various scams and the ways to protect yourself. I asked him, and I knew the answer to this, but I wanted to see if he agreed with me. I said, "Does social media make all this worse?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Absolutely." He says, "We tell everybody everything. We tell them on social media our kids' names, our parents' names, our wives' names, what we did yesterday, where we go to school, what our dog's name is, every kind of thing they need to send us a bogus phishing email or to answer those questions when the bank, you know, or the says, what's your dog's name? What high school did you go to?"
Sure, sure.
We tell them all that stuff on social media, and they're just able to use all of that stuff against us. And he literally said, "Stop telling the whole world everything. Don't, when you're on vacation, don't post pictures on your vacation. Share it when you get back. You know, don't be telling everybody all this stuff, because somehow they're going to use it against you." And he pointed out that if I can get you to give me your date of birth and your mother's maiden name, two simple questions that most con artists can pretty rapidly get you get from you. Excuse me, the date of birth and where you were born. Excuse me, date of birth, yeah, and where you were born. That's 98% of what a cyber thief needs to steal your identity. Those two pieces of information.
Wow.
Because that will lead them to everything else they need to play you. So that, just keep that in mind when you so willy-nilly share all this information with people who call or win contests or on social media or whatever. You need to keep that stuff close to the vest.
Yeah. It's fascinating. He must be really, you know, nowadays, you know, with the social media and all the scamming that goes on so frequently, he must be a busy guy.
He is. I mean, he's an ambassador for AARP. He trains FBI agents. He does private consulting. So he's keeping pretty busy. But, you know, I've talked to him, as I said, three times, and he has this really sincere desire. I mean, he wasn't one of the worst criminals in the history of the world. He did some not good things, but, you know, never killed anybody. But he just really wants to make amends for that, and he just wants to share his advice for people. I think we have time before we go commercial.
Yeah, please.
I asked him, in the book, he listed four warning signs of a scam.
Yep.
And I think that he says, if you educate people, they're more likely to spot a scam. So he says, that's what I'm trying to do with this book, educate people. So here are the four tips that he gave me. First of all, if there's a request for action, he says, every scam involves a request for action. If they tell you to do something, write this down. Tell me your bank account numbers. How many credit cards do you have? Whatever it is, then they're sucking you in, and they've taken control of the conversation and put you in a more vulnerable position. Don't do that. If its call doesn't sound right, hang up. The longer you talk to these people, they're professionals, the more likely you are to get taken. So that's number one.
Yeah.
All scams have a demand for fees or information. So remember, if you really want a contest or a sweepstakes or a lottery, you will never be asked to pay any money or give any kind of credit card or debit card number. There's no shipping fee. There's no handling fee. There's no tax payment. You pay the taxes to the IRS. Prize offers that require any kind of payment are a scam. And remember, I always tell people, you can't win a contest you didn't enter. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
The other thing is, act now or lose. It's a sense of urgency. Anybody who says, you know, you got to decide right now, if I hang up the phone, the deal is over. I need the answer in the next few hours. In my experience, and Frank said in his, there's no legitimate transaction that requires that sense of urgency. If they're rushing you like that and giving you the high pressure, hang up the phone. And finally, a request for an untraceable payment. They want you to send payment by a wire transfer or gift cards. Buy the gift cards and give us the number off the back, or some other untraceable source of payment. His quote, legitimate businesses have legitimate banking details that can be verified. And remember, in the IRS, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, courthouses, whatever it is calling you to get money, they don't take iTunes cards. They don't take Amazon gift cards. That should be the warning flag right there.
Yeah.
You pay them by check or some other means, but iTunes cards are for the iTunes store.
Right.
Amazon cards are for Amazon. You don't pay the IRS with Amazon cards.
Right.
So you hear that, hang up the phone. But again, the longer they keep you on the phone, the more likely they are, statistics are shown, to get you to do what they want. And the last thing he told me is, who do you think is more likely to be scammed, millennials or seniors?
My guess is seniors.
And that's what we all think, right? We've always heard seniors are more likely to be scammed. Research that he quoted from AARP shows that millennials are more likely to be scammed, but the money that the bad guys get is less. So seniors are less likely to be scammed, but because they have the money, when they fall for something,
yeah,
they tend to lose more money.
Yeah.
But millennials, we think, oh, they're so savvy and computer literate. They're falling for these things as much as anybody else because they're so quick and they respond to things so quickly, they don't stop and think. And that's where the bad guys get them, especially in the cyber world.
Yeah. Wow, fascinating stuff. His book, again, what's it called?
It's called Scam Me If You Can. The interview is on my website. You'll see a picture of Frank right on the homepage, consumerman.com.
Right.
And if you go into the story, there is a link, and you can actually listen to the podcast, the 12-minute conversation I had with Frank, which I think is fascinating. So I encourage you to do that. It's right on the homepage of consumerman.com.
Absolutely. Everybody should check that out, consumerman.com. And again, if you've seen the movie, which, by the way, is a terrific film, Catch Me If You Can. It's a really, really good film. It's and DiCaprio and Tom Hanks, a really good movie, fascinating true story. And you know how it ends, Herb, with his appearance on To Tell the Truth?
Right.
Right. I've actually seen the real episode. Yeah, the Game Show Network actually showed it and showed the actual episode where he was on To Tell the Truth, and it's a really entertaining piece of TV.
Cool.
Yeah, so Herb, hang on, okay?
We got more scams to talk about.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yes, we do. And we got some phone calls and some, I think, some texts are coming in so we can help some people out. Herb, hang on. Okay. Herb Weisbaum is with us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. He is the Consumer Man. You can follow him on Twitter, at the Consumer Man, and go to his website, consumerman.com. All of his stories are there. You can sign up for his free newsletter, and you can also check out this interview that he did with Frank Abagnale. Some pretty fascinating stuff. Okay, we'll take a break, and more with Herb right after this.
Everything around me, cream, get the money, dollar bill, y'all. Cash rules, everything around me, cream, get the money, dollar bill, y'all.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio here on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. Vic's Picks, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday. Plus, it's a big night for pro wrestling fans. WWE SmackDown is going to be premiering on Fox tonight, and I will be right in front of the TV watching it. Jack Crosby from CBS Sports is going to join us to discuss this big event for SmackDown. And then we're going to talk about wrestling some more, favorite wrestlers of all time, SmackDown moments, all that stuff. Some fun wrestling stuff coming up here on the show, as well as all of our regular features. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. And by the way, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up. All right, let's get back to it. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He's the Consumer Man. You can follow him on at the Consumer Man on Twitter, and consumerman.com is the website. Herb, welcome back.
Hi, the Baron Miguel Cicluna.
Wait, what?
That was my wrestling guy when I was growing up and watching wrestling on TV. The Baron Miguel Cicluna was one of the ones.
So he was a local. Yeah. He was a local.
No, that was national. It was whatever they were doing back, you know, when TV was black and white or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Okay. Because I'm a big wrestling fan. I don't know if I've ever heard that name.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Well, we'll have to talk about that a little bit later on. Very cool. We do have somebody who has a question here, and it's Lulu. Go ahead, Lulu.
Hey, Nick. Hi, Herb.
Hi.
I got a call on my phone, and the caller ID said scam likely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious about, if I were to pick up that phone, is that a way that they get control of my phone?
No. Do you have any kind of phone screening app on your telephone?
I don't believe so.
Okay, because it may be from your carrier. Some carriers now are proactively using their technology to warn you that the phone call is likely a scam because it's a robocall or something like that. So those either come from an app, if you downloaded an app on your phone to protect you from, to stop all these robocalls, or from your carrier that's doing it proactively. You can certainly take the call. The call will go to voicemail if you don't take it, and then you can check it back later. I would go with what they're telling you, because the algorithms are pretty good these days, and if it's being indicated to them it's a scam, it probably is, or some kind of robocall, let it go to voicemail, and then you can always check it out if you want to. But nobody's going to take over your phone. That's an alert from somebody telling you that you're about to get a call that you probably don't want to take.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, Lulu.
You're very welcome.
All right. Herb, let's talk a little bit about the business email scams and how people can be protected from that. You wrote a piece about this.
Yeah, this is really a terrible family of scams where the scammers are impersonating email. And there's different scenarios. Sometimes they're actually compromising an email service. Sometimes they're just learning enough information to impersonate anybody. There's basically two kinds, and I'm going to try to break it down. The first one is where they actually go after employees. So what they'll do is they'll send an email to an employee. In many cases, they'll pretend to be the CEO or the boss and say something in the email such as, "I'm in a meeting or out of the office." In many cases, by tracking the email, they have indeed hacked the system. They know the boss is in a meeting or out of the office. And I need you to do me a favor. I need you to buy a bunch of gift cards. I want to give them out as holiday presents or whatever. So just go out and buy these gift cards. Send me the numbers off the back and the PIN codes and so I can deal with it.
Yeah.
And I talked to a woman at the top of the story. If you read the story, her name was Robin. She worked at a consulting company in North Carolina. And she got this. The boss indeed was out of the office. She knew he was is away. And she believed the email. And she bought $10,000 worth of gift cards per the instructions, sent the pictures of the card numbers and the PIN codes on the back to the boss, found out the next day was a scammer, and the $10,000 was gone. The company said, you know what, Robin? You bought this on your corporate expense card, which you have corporate card, which you have to pay off. It's your responsibility. And she obviously left the company. Took her 5 months or more to get the credit card company to help her out. You don't get the same consumer protections on a business card that you do on a personal credit card, which we'll go into sometime. But that's just one of many stories where this happens. In the other case, it's an email that comes in appearing to be from a known and trusted company that you're doing business with.
Yeah.
And again, if they follow the company, they know what's going on. Hi, our payment is due next month for the concrete, and we just changed our bank account, so we want to let you know. And you wire the money or you give the check to a different bank account, and then, of course, you're dealing with a scammer. So the rule is, and it's really simple, and every company should have a policy in place, you never buy gift cards, you never wire money, you never change a payment account based on an email. You always have to make a telephone call and verify that it's legit. It is as simple as that in stopping the story. But, you know, we're talking about $3.5 billion worth of scams in the last 3 years.
Jeez.
I mean, it's a lot of money.
That is
a lot of money. The other scam targets people who are about to close on a house. They infiltrate the email of somebody in the chain. So it's either the title company, one of the realtors involved, or the buyer or the seller. They know when the closing date is going to take place. They know all the details. They know the amount you're going to have to bring to the closing to the penny. They email you a day or two before, make the email look like it's from one of these trusted parties, normally the title company or the realtor, and they say, hi, some last minute change. You don't want to delay the closing. We're now using this wire account instead of that wire account. And the average loss on this thing is something like, and what you do is you wire it, and you wire it to the bad guys. You will never see the money again. Losses average something like $197,000 on this kind of scam. People lose their entire life savings. The deal falls through. I've spoken to people the average loss is $179,000. I just want to make sure I got that right.
Right.
Escalating dramatically, it's skyrocketing, the scam, because it's so successful. And people are left homeless. I mean, there are people living with their parents. There are people who are out on the street because the deal has fallen through and they lost everything. And again, the rule is very, very simple. You never, ever change a wiring instruction based on an email. You always pick up the phone and call somebody, the person you know and trust, and say, am I really supposed to change this? Because odds are they're never going to change it to you in an email. And if it's an email, it's probably a scam. But you've got now real estate companies are warning people, title companies, but it's just a line on the bottom of a form or maybe something to sign. There's a real estate company, a title company here in Seattle area where I live. They are now requiring their customers to have an app. You have to, when you sign up with them, you get an app, and all communications are secure through the app. Mm. They're so worried about this problem taking place. But it's a really, really serious and devastating problem. So we got to get the word out that people can never change the final payment based on an email or whatever, or a text that comes in at the last minute.
Yeah.
You got to call and find out what's going on.
Wow. And if you want to read the entire thing, the link to that NBC News story is at consumerman.com. Before we get you out of here, you did write a piece about auto insurance that you wanted to mention a few of those things before we get you out of here.
Oh, sure. You know, a lot of people have a lot of myths or a lot of myths associated with auto insurance, and we tackle them in the article. One of the big ones is, true or false, Nick, if you get a red car, your insurance rate will be higher.
I would say false.
Correct. The color of your car has nothing to do with the insurance you pay. It's based on how you drive the car, and if you have a lot of traffic tickets because you're speeding in your red car, that will cost you more money.
Yeah,
but
right.
A lot of people think simply just buying a red car is going to mean they're going to pay more for insurance. It's based on the kind of vehicle, the age of the vehicle, the motor of the vehicle, the kind of accidents that vehicle is involved in, your age, where you live. Some places use your credit score, which consumer advocates think is horrible. The insurance industry says we have data that shows that credit scores are linked to how the claims come in. the consumer advocates say it's how you drive the counts, not your credit score, not your, you know, where you stand financially in life. But in many places, they are allowed to do that kind of thing. Those are some of the myths that involve with insurance. The other thing is a lot of people don't know, what does the insurance go with, you or the car?
Mm-hmm. Well, that
so if I let,
yeah.
Who's insured, the car or the driver?
The car.
The car. A lot of people don't know that. So if I lend you, Nick, my car and you wreck it, it comes back on my insurance,
right,
not on your insurance.
Right.
And so you have to really think about that before you lend your vehicle. And the final point is a lot of people don't realize that they have to have insurance if they're using their car for a gig. And even if you're driving pizza for 2 hours a night, or even if you're a Lyft or an Uber driver, yes, Uber and Lyft cover you while you have a passenger in the car. They don't cover you while you're driving to pick up that passenger. And the insurance is fairly cheap. I mean, $15, $20 a month or something like that to cover you. But if you use your car for business purposes, every policy I've seen says your personal policy will not cover that and will be null and void if you try to make a claim. So you got to have that. If you're driving pizza for a living in the evening, you got to, you know, if you're doing the Lou Malnati's pizza, you know, delivering that Lou Malnati's pizza,
right,
or the Giordano's or the Duos, the Uno's or Duos,
yeah,
you got to have that business insurance so that you make sure you don't get caught with a pile over your face.
You also talk pile over your face. I got
well, I was finishing up the analogy.
Yeah. And I also like the fact that you just threw in a whole bunch of local names for the pizza. I love that.
Last time I saw you, I had my first Lou Malnati's pizza, and I'm thinking of having a pizza party for the holidays and having it shipped out, because they do that.
They
you know.
do it. Yeah, they ship it out to you frozen, and then you can just throw it in your oven, and you got some fresh Lou Malnati's pizza.
Have a little Honker's beer, and you're already.
Yeah, sure.
I'm a Chicago guy. I know about your town.
You know the Honker's Ale. Some Lou Malnati's. Yeah, very cool. You got to get you back.
I spent many, many long days at the McCormick Center covering trade shows for CBS.
Yeah.
Many, many long. So I love your town.
Yeah, no, it's a great town. We got to get you back here soon, Herb.
I'm headed back, and I'm going to plan to try another pizza when I come back and see it. It'll be early next year.
Okay, very, very cool. We'll get you in here, too, live in studio. It'll be great.
Thank you.
Okay. Herb, always a pleasure. Everybody, again, the Consumer Man, at Consumer Man for Twitter and ConsumerMan.com. And sign up for that newsletter. It's free, and it will help you out for sure. Herb, it's always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you. Have a great month.
Okay, you too, buddy. Herb Weisbaum, everybody. He's great. He's the consumer guy. And, you know, all the articles that we were talking about, the interview with Frank Abagnale, all that stuff, you got links. It linked it up over at ConsumerMan.com. All right, we'll take a break. The news is coming up after this.